Well, it's Easter Sunday this morning, and of course Easter is all about Jesus. But we're going to think, to start with at least, about someone else. Joseph. Now, you have a big family?
Yeah.
You do? You have a big family? How about 11 brothers? Cricket team? No? That's very good, isn't it? He was actually the second youngest of 12. And his brothers didn't like him. They turned against him. They didn't like him at all. And the reason why is because he had dreams. He had dreams that his brothers would need to bow down before him. And they didn't like the idea of that at all. So one day when they were out in the fields and they saw him coming towards them, they said, let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of him. We don't like these dreams. Let's see what happens to these dreams if we get rid of him. And so there's a big, deep pit nearby, and they put him in the bottom of the pit there. Well, and they sat down for lunch, and a long line of people on the way down to Egypt were heading towards them. They were Midianites, and they were going to sell their wares in Egypt, a long, long way away. So what we'll do is, we won't kill him, we'll sell him to them as a slave, for the price of a slave, and then he'll be out of the way. So that's what they did. They sold Joseph to these Midianites, and off they went all the way down to Egypt. As far as they were concerned, that was the end of him. Now let's see what happens to his dreams. Well, they got his coat. Look at a really nice coat, didn't he? And they dipped it in the blood of an animal, and they took it to their dad, Jacob. And he was so sad. He thought, this is my son's coat. He must have been eaten by an animal. And he was very, very sad indeed. Well, they carried on living without their brother. It was very hot, and there was no rain. And for a long, long period of time, there was no rain. And if there's no rain, there's no crops. And if there's no crops, there's no food. And after a while, they started to rub their tummies and feeling hungry now. And they all started to groan and complain and grumble. There's no food. So their father said, stop just staring at each other. There's food in Egypt. Get your empty sacks and go down to Egypt and buy some food. That's a sensible thing to do, isn't it? So that's what they did. They travelled to Egypt. When they arrived, they went to the most important person they could find in the country. And they came to him and they said, look, oh, we're so hungry, we're starving to death. Please give us some food to eat. Sell us some food so that we won't die of starvation. And they all bowed down towards him. Please, please, we need some food. Well, he gave them food, or sold them food, and they survived. And then a little time later, they made the most amazing discovery that the person who had helped them with the food in Egypt was no other than their brother, Joseph. And look at him now. The crown on his head. The king of Egypt. Amazing. Well, they were so struck that it was their own brother who was the king of Egypt and sold them the food. They had hated him, but he had provided for them. So what's that got to do with Easter, one might think? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? So 40 generations later, from Jacob, comes Jesus. He came into this world, remember that at Christmas. He grew up as a boy, became a man, and he went around doing good. He didn't just go around doing, he went around doing good and helping people, speaking about the kingdom of God, healing the sick. There was no disease that he could not cure. He'd even take a little bit of bread and feed thousands of people with just a little bit of food. He could say to the demons, be gone, and they would go. Everything he did with great authority, with great power. And he was so good to people. Why is it that his own people, his own race, should turn against him? It says they hated him without reason at all. Well, that's exactly what happened to Jesus. Although he was perfect, and like anyone else who's ever lived in this world, there's no reason for him to die. That's what happened to him. They did indeed beat him. They spat on his face, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. You saw that in the picture there. Pushed it down so that the blood would run. It was very sharp on his head. He was in great pain, and they flogged him so he could hardly move, he could hardly walk, and somebody had to help carry his cross. And then, you might say, the worst to come. He was put on a torture cross. Horrible, horrible way to die. Couldn't breathe. And that went on and on. In fact, the most painful way to die. The Romans invented new ways of killing people. And that's what happened to Jesus. Slow, painful death. Millions, billions of people have lived and died. But only one person died this way. In fact, the Roman soldier who put Jesus to death, this is what he said. No one ever died like this man died. Surely he must be the Son of God. Well, Jesus had said earlier that he came from heaven into this world. The Bible describes of Jesus being God, coming into this world as a slave, as a servant, to suffer and to be punished. And so, can you see there's something in common there? Put that up on the board. You see they both... They both suffered, they both were rejected by their own family, the friends that were close to them. Well, after Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and everybody thought, well, that's the end of it. We can carry on and do what we want now. We don't have to be bothered by God or bothered by somebody coming and telling us about our sins anymore. But was that the end of him? Was that the end of him? Not at all, was it? How long was it he was in the tomb for, do you know?
3 days.
3 days, yeah. There we are. And when the women went to the tomb on that morning, and the stone rolled away, and he was alive, just as was written hundreds of years before, just as he said he would. He was alive again for people to see. And in fact, let's put something else up here, because those millions and billions of people who have lived in this world and have died in this world, only one has come back again. How about that? Only one has come back again. Well, after 40 days, he ascended to heaven, to his rightful place where he had come from at the beginning. Well, why did all this take place? It wasn't just because man were wicked and evil, which they were, and they are, but because God had a great plan to use his death. Because God is just. He has to punish everyone who does wrong, and that's bad news for you and I, because we've all done things wrong, thought things wrong, things we should have done which we haven't done, gone against the lawbreaker, and when we sin, it is against God who sets the law. And there's no one without sin. No one without sin at all. And yet, because of God being love, he set his punishment on his son. He wanted to find a way for you and I to avoid God's judgment and punishment on that day by judging and punishing his son. And that's why between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock darkness came over the whole land. God was angry with him for my sin. My sin was taken away. I don't have to fear judgment now because he took my judgment. Already, it's already happened, and God is fair. He's not going to judge twice. So I am free if I have Jesus. So that's a wonderful thing. So what did he buy for me? Let's put that up on the board in a look at these letters. Turn your eyes upside down, back to front, inside out. anybody on the front work out what it is? Anybody see what that says? Yes? Forgiven. And you know, our greatest need in this life is to be forgiven for God. So make sure that He's no longer going to hold those things against us any longer. And that's the wonderful thing that when Jesus died on the cross, He did that. He took great pain and suffering on Himself to buy us, to give us freely forgiveness of sins. Are you forgiven? Of everything, past, present, and future? Are you clear in the sight of God and free from guilt? Because when people say, well, I hope so, that tells me nothing's really changed in them. When people say, I'm sure, because of Him, that's different. That's different. That is the gospel. Free forgiveness of sins, at great cost to Him, but free to you and I. But if you love your sin, no forgiveness there. If you turn from your sin, repentance, change direction, say, I don't like my sin, God doesn't like my sin, I don't like my sin, help. It's a good prayer to pray, help. And then He will answer that prayer. Help me, Jesus. Have mercy on me, Jesus Christ. You died for me. And that's the simple gospel. And many people have been here for, you know, been through life for years and years and years, and yet He says, just come as a child, trust me for that. And look to me alone, and you can be forgiven. Well, Jesus, no longer a slave, He's a king. And we have a new king in England, don't we? Who's the new king of England? Anybody know in this room who the new king of England is? King Charles the Third. Yeah. And on the 6th of May, you will be glued to your tellies, probably, I expect, watching the coronation, when he is recognised as King of England, okay? But do you know that he has another king? He has a king above him, Jesus, who is the King of all kings. I wonder if you'll recognise that, as his mother and his grandmother certainly did. Wouldn't that be great? So, unlike kings today, Jesus is a king with power. And he has the power, just as Joseph did, to feed and provide for his brothers, even though they were against him, he provided and helped them. So Jesus can forgive us for our ignoring him all those years, that heart, and he can provide and help. And if we have him, because he lives, we have life everlasting as well. And I know my actions for many years, I hated him by ignoring him, and yet Jesus has saved me. What a wonderful act of grace.